Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Yeah, buddy, hour three of the nation. Welcome back. We got a return of Eric's segment, Ball Maxing, coming up at 4:20. Looking forward to that.
This is going to be a ridiculous one, too, man.
Let's go.
I'm here for it.
I got to be honest with you. This is one of the more diabolical play-by-plays I've ever heard.
Perfect.
Let's go. Looking forward to that coming up here in under 20 minutes. Now here's Wolchuk with your fix.
All right, let's do it. Let's get our fix right after this.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
I got to get my fix, man.
Let's go to the Barnwell, who has got every single team's best and worst deals this offseason.
Oh, he doesn't, dude. He doesn't have all 32 like that.
He does.
Charles Robinson.
He had AFC. Now he's got the NFC. And I skipped the AFC because, honestly, I didn't care. Do I really care overall? No.
No.
But
thought you loved America, Wolchuk. That's surprising.
Because
he does buy that shirt.
I love my family.
That is a good shirt.
That's an Andy Reid special.
It's very comfortable.
When I saw it, when I walked in, that's the first person I thought of.
Get this man. Get this man a chili dog.
Andy said they're not trading Rashee Rice.
I said, I got caught cheating shirt.
Best signing.
Confirming that Vrabel's wearing one of these right now,
right?
No denial from Wolchuk. Vrabel's entire closet.
He's got that vest.
I'm sitting here with tons of options.
Picking himself in the cleaners right now.
I love my family.
Yeah, I love my kids.
I love my wife,
Jen. Best signing, Kobe Durant, 1 year, $4 million deal. Maybe one that we haven't highlighted quite enough yet.
Oh, we've highlighted it,
you
dude.
You know, Kobe Durant's been fantastic.
We don't do content around here.
Come on, Kobe Durant, have we talked about him enough? No.
It's not that he's great.
He's the guy. He's the best.
Or maybe even good. But he's just not one of the worst 20 corners in the league.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you were trotting out there.
Yeah.
100%. Now, the worst, he says it's bringing back Terrence Steele on a restructured deal. Ouch. Yeah.
Steele, taking less money, right?
Was once a glowing example of Dallas's ability to develop offensive linemen. The former undrafted free agent.
He never was.
Hasn't been the same.
No, I don't know about this.
Since suffering a multi-ligament knee injury.
Thank you. And then that's when they gave him the contract. After the knee injury.
Cowboys could have cut Steele to avoid triggering his $13.3 million salary, but instead they signed the incumbent tackle to a 3-year, $33 million deal, paying the 28-year-old $13 million in cash this year in the process. I'm not sure there would have been a market to sign Steele at that price in free agency. There's no guaranteed money left on the contract
they don't have
after
a right
the season.
Tackle, okay?
But the Cowboys would owe $22 million in dead money if they moved on from Steele after 26. He's not a bad player. But this probably wasn't the right fit for a team that needs to squeeze every bit of surplus valuable possible, given how much it's paying its top five players.
You have more of a problem at left tackle than you do at right.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Steele's solid. You know, I think that if we were to watch every single team in the league, every single snap, we'd probably have a better appreciation for Terrence Steele.
You ever watch that guy play for the Giants? Elmore? Some days he blocks okay, and then other days he looks like he's got a welcome mat on his chest.
Yeah, I mean, Steele is a good run-blocking tackle, and there are just times where he can get totally worked as a pass blocker.
Isn't this weird? Steele, you would not think, would be a good run-blocking tackle, and he is. And you would think that Ezeroco was a much better pass rusher. And then it's strange how sometimes players turn into something different.
Than what they're built for,
yeah. Maybe the thing with Donovan Ezeroco, and I'm hopeful, second year.
Yeah, you
I really am.
Be hopeful.
I'm very, very hopeful.
I think he's going to be great.
I hope so, too, because he was one of the best pass rushers I saw coming out. And it's just so funny how, wow, he's a really good run defender. And I thought he was a good run defender in college, but not like what he's doing now.
That'd be my number one thing for BT Jordan. If
he's
going to
get in that lab.
Can you unlock this guy?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like he has a plan.
He's going to be unlocked.
But he had so many sacks in college. I think with Steele, you got to weaponize that run game more. You know, give him more chances to go hit. What was it, the linebacker, the safety? Remember when he went all across the field? Go do more stuff like that. And I think if your left tackle is solid, Dak can see that coming and slide. But he can't when both tackles are failing.
No, if they're both going to collapse, that's going to be an issue. So you need somebody to step up there.
I will say this about Steele. A man has been very fortunate that the guy playing next to him in his inside has been a high-level player. Zach Martin nice for a long
Zach,
time.
And him and Zach loved each other.
And then Booker. If him and Booker can kind of get it going together.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Now, the top candidate for each NFC team is the most underappreciated in 2026. This is from Tom Blair, NFL.com. Your most underappreciated Dallas Cowboy heading into the season. Running back, Javonte Williams.
Oh, how about that?
Yep. Williams finished off a 252 carry, 1,201 yard season with 11 rushing touchdowns, plus a couple of receiving touchdowns as well. That wasn't just a veteran free agent on a 1-year prove it contract, putting up a nice line for a team. That wasn't even just the best season of his career. It was one of the best running back seasons by any Cowboy this century. Since 2003, Dallas players have logged at least one season with 1,100-plus rushing yards and 10-plus rushing touchdowns. That would be DeMarco Murray in 2014, Ezekiel Elliott in 2016 and 2019, and then Javonte Williams last year. That is damn impressive. Not even Tony Pollard did that.
Not even Tony Pollard did. Not even Julio Jones. Julius Jones.
Julius Jones.
Julius Jones. Julius Randle.
Julius Randle.
None of those guys.
Marion Barber.
Yeah, I do think 3-year, $24 million extension, you're getting $8 million a year for Javonte Williams. Like, that is one of the better offseason deals in the entire league, if he's able to keep up that type of
production. Yes, you know, you're right about that.
I mean, the running back market ended up getting a little bit higher than I thought we even were looking at there. Some of these guys going for 12, you get Javonte Williams for 8. It's a hell of a player, plus the pass blocking. He is underrated.
Yeah, they need to do him the service of having a guy that can take the pressure off him a little bit.
Yeah, that way, you know, because you could see it. The wear and tear started to wear down the season a little bit. Here's A.J. Brown. Okay, we're about to be June 1st. Right? This trade's supposed to happen, right? We're going to have A.J. Brown out of Philly. He's going to be with Mike Vrabel and the Rossinis. And really, this is when we need Diana. Where are you? We need your reporting on this. Because nobody really knows what's happening. We got Josina Anderson's throwing stuff out there. Like, we got issues in terms of compensation. And here's...
She's got to go independent, man. We need that content.
We need something. But here's Ian Rappaport.
You know Vrabes' wife would probably lose it if Rossini had a Patriots insider report this week, though.
You think so?
Oh, for sure.
I don't know. Maybe Jen and Diana are gals.
You know, I have seen the theory that at some point people get married for so long that they don't care if their spouse is cheating. They're like, whatever. I'm cheating. She's cheating. We're just going to stay together for the kids. Try not to let it go public.
Just like whatever.
But we don't want anything to do with each other that much anymore. We're friends. You know, we have a family together, but we don't want to get a divorce. So I do what I do and she does what she does.
Maybe there's just an agreement there.
I think that's fairly common. And for us folk who are... You know, living the true romance and found the love of our life. Could never imagine stuff like
hilarious.
That.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
You guys haven't?
But I've been with my woman for 16 years.
I'm wearing mine on my chest.
And at least for me, it's still like the first 6 months, you know?
Yeah.
Honeymoon 100%. Phase.
100%. I like that cell job.
Coming up on 20 years of honeymoon phase.
Just pure bliss.
What a blessing, dude.
Here's Rapsheet.
Sorry, I'm entertaining myself over here too much. I'm going to pipe down.
Here's the latest on the A.J. Brown trade.
As far as the actual trade, though, you know, we're all waiting for June 1st to happen so the cap hit is in half for the Philadelphia Eagles and they could trade him. I just don't know that it's going to be like snap your fingers and the deal is done because the two sides are where they have been, which is the Eagles wanting a first-round pick in 2027. The Patriots, the most likely destination, we'll see if someone else arises, but Patriots, the most likely destination, not being willing to give up a first-round pick as of right now. That means they're not particularly close, and yeah, there's a chance this could drag on for the foreseeable future.
Oh my!
Rap Sheet's like way behind the game here.
Whoa!
Did we talk about this weeks ago?
Yeah, we did.
I told you, Elliot Wolf told me they didn't have a deal done yet.
Yeah. So now,
I did. Like, I said, hey man, you got to trade for that guy? He goes, not yet. No, we don't.
Yep. And I get it. And if you're Elliot, I think you should hold out and not give up a first round pick. Why the hell should I trade what you traded for a player? What, 5 years ago? Like, this dude's older now. Come on. He's a good player. I'm not giving you a one for him. So I love it. I like what they're doing there. I'm sure this thing still ends up getting done.
He still is pretty crazy good, though, right?
Oh, he's fantastic. Yeah, he is. He's still one of the top receivers in the league.
I mean, I was listening to Nate Tice, and he pointed out there's only a couple of guys in the league who can go get it, high point a ball, beat a guy, you know, and also yak you to death.
Right, yeah. Right.
And he's like, it's him and it's Ja'Marr Chase, and there's not many other guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're haggling. They're doing a little haggling.
Are we talking about the route runner, though, right?
What about him as a – I think he's solid.
I mean, it's a guy that, like – he's in a way, he's limited what he can do as a route runner.
He's not running the full route tree. But so what he does well,
if he goes to a team, it's like, bro, you got to run some routes.
Well, then, that's on the team for it's just like the linebacker in coverage.
Shouldn't trade for him then. If you're a team that's like you're about trying to, you have to scheme things up. 49ers, right? 49ers route running team, Rams are route running teams.
And the Rams are trying to trade for him. So, I mean, I think that
maybe they feel like that he can run routes.
Yeah.
But it's like Philadelphia, it seemed like that what? Goes,
a lot of
curls,
yeah.
Slant.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot there. Wasn't a lot.
It's kind of how he's being used in that offense.
But he's so good at those, it's worth.
Outstanding player. I'm just saying, though, beware if you're thinking, well, this guy does a lot of things.
Yeah.
I mean, and Dawson told you the things he's really good at.
And New England knows. I mean, look, Vrabel knows him well. He was with him there in Tennessee, and it was a big. And them trading him was a big reason why he got fired there. I mean,
he got mad at the GM.
Rightly so. It was a stupid deal.
I do think it's a second round pick should be the price
done.
Here.
Like I'm
he's
with you.
A little bit older. It's a position that teams find in the draft pretty regularly now. Second round pick should get it done.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just it's a matter of time. But maybe the Eagles don't get the full asking price that they wanted. Now we had Justin Herbert. He has joined the Chargers at OTAs, but he was not there at the start. He was back yesterday. He missed phase two of the team's offseason program. Why? He was supporting his girlfriend, singer Madison Beer. Now, when I think of Jim Harbaugh, I'm like old school. You know, he's drinking milk. He's eating steaks.
He's hitting the sleds.
You know, he's in his khakis.
Wears cleats to practice.
And he doesn't have
time on the jugs
to be going out there and just supporting your girlfriend.
Machine.
Oh. Right? I expect my quarterback to be there. Right? What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
This is football time. You're not traveling with your smoke show girlfriend. This is not what we're doing here. Well,
he's jealous. That's what it is.
I think that we might have seen a softer side now of Harbaugh. Here was his response to the media. When it came to Justin Herbert.
So excited. I was happy, you know, went to support Madison on her music tour. Madison supports him at the football games, and he told me he wasn't going to be here for those two weeks, and my first reaction was, do you need a ride to the airport? He's just been somebody that he's just here all the time. I mean, it's times I've wanted to shoo him out of the building. He's at every voluntary, every non-voluntary workout. I'm the same guy that broke his hand, and then he was here the next day practicing the next game, stiff-arming guys. I was happy, good balance.
You think he's ball sacking us?
Absolutely. You got an entire off season, bro. You've been off since the second week of January, where they get whacked in the wild card round.
Yeah.
And you can always tell, my buddy Newbear taught me this, when people's voice raises a couple octaves, they're lying. They go, oh, this is the line.
That's really good. This is really good.
I'll take it.
Oh, it's
airport.
Delicious.
Yeah, no, he was tongue in cheek. He was making a joke out of it. You know,
yeah,
probably because he just decided I don't want to make a bigger deal out of this.
Drop you off
media
at the
feast.
Airport. You know, when he said that line, I was like, wow,
yeah. Drop you off at the airport. Right. He's doing a bit up there, and I love it.
It's really strong stuff.
Yeah,
well done. Well,
Cowboys
done.
Really should have hired Harb, shouldn't they? Mm.
Gosh, that would have been.
I don't know, dude. Shoddy,
tremendous.
Shoddy's got your respect.
There's very few that I would trade Shoddy for right now. I think Jim's one of them.
Jim,
Andy, Sean,
yeah,
Shanny.
McDonald.
Ben Johnson.
McDonald, ben Johnson. McDonald, Mike McDonald.
Ben. Mike McDonald, yeah.
By the way, Ben's buying stock in Luther Burden. So you fantasy footballers out there, you might want to draft Burden. He's loving what he's seeing. He said he's very coachable.
All right. Let's not be late for another Chief segment because Woolchuck's over talking.
I'm sorry, guys.
Okay. Well, too late. We got Paul Maxson coming up, Chief.
Screw your Max. Play-by-play I've ever heard next to.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Here in the nation.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here. It's time now for your favorite new segment in the nation, Ball Maxing with the Chief. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And here's Eric.
I guarantee you've never heard play-by-play quite like this right now.
Now there's a new trend called Ball Maxing.
Everybody has a preference. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like them tacky. Some guys like them brand new. Some guys like old balls. I mean, they're all different.
Do you still think the balls are juiced?
Whose balls
all
are juiced?
Right. Now, speaking of ball tonight, I'm just not excited to watch SGA play basketball anymore. I'm just over it. I'm done with it. I think Woolchuck's got a little something in the mixed bag that will reinforce just how soft he actually is.
Oh, do I?
Or maybe is he a businessman?
Haters. I love it. I'll watch for the both of us, Chief.
I'm still going to watch.
I'm going to hate watching it.
I love it.
I might do the thing where I just close my eyes when he has the ball, you know? You ever done that before? Mid-game, you just close your eyes because you hate somebody so much.
I could tell you.
Just the way they do their job, not them as a person.
Pretty sure it happened a couple of times. Kobe was on like a five-year run of just nailing fourth quarter threes, you know?
Yeah.
He would just go like stone cold killer mode on you.
It can get under your skin. I know a lot of people are closing their eyes during the tush push these days. It's like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah, I agree.
That's my silent protest.
Every time Stephen A. Smith is on television.
Close your eyes and cover your ears.
I'm just disgusted.
When I used to watch games from the sidelines, like the ball would go down the field and like our guys were being like on defense, I would turn away. I couldn't look.
Really?
I would. I'd be standing at the end of the bench, and the ball, I'd see it go in the air, and I'd see our defender, and I would turn, and I wouldn't look. And I just
waiting for the crowd reaction.
Every single time.
Man.
And then even now when I'm with the Cowboys in the press box, I find myself doing the same thing. Ball goes down the field, and I just kind of look away. And now I'm trying better to watch the whole play through, but –
is that more out of fear, not out of hate?
It was out of fear.
Yeah.
It was out of fear that we were about to give up a huge play. You know?
That makes sense why you're always like, was that Hooker?
That damn Hooker.
Did you not
again
see it? Like,
I do ask you a lot of questions. Yeah, because I'll see the ball going in, I'll just turn, and I won't even watch.
Who was that just got beat?
Yeah. Who was that just got beat?
Just watch it back on the film. Okay, so you guys, I know, Lucius, you said you were soaking in the Indy 500 over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
What a hell of a finish. Like, we didn't even talk about that. That was an amazing finish.
You should see what happened for third, fourth, fifth. That was even closer. That finish was even closer.
That man went for it. Yeah. He was like, nah, that's it.
Top five was as close as you'll ever get in a car race.
Really?
Ever.
It was all about who's going to be scared at that moment.
Yeah. Who was going to lift.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we had the, I believe, the second installment of the Oscar Mayer Weenie 500, where they get in the Oscar Mayer Weenie Mobile.
It happened.
Yeah, it happened.
I missed this.
It happened on, I believe, Friday.
Gosh,
it took place last Friday.
Carb day.
But I keep getting inundated with some of the play-by-play clips because these guys really lean into the bit of everything.
They do.
Okay, and this is on Fox. This is Fox play-by-play of the Weenie 500, where you have Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobiles, like you have the Chicago Dog, the New York Dog, the Slaw Dog. They're all 27-foot-long fiberglass hot dogs on wheels, and they go up to about 60 miles per hour, and they take two laps around the track and see who wins this thing. The play-by-play is unbelievable, and of course, the winner gets the Borg Wiener Trophy and a mustard shower in the Wiener's circle at the end. Now,
you should try and drive one of these. You would love a mustard shower.
I would love a mustard shower.
That'd be that payoff for anybody that doesn't like mustard. What's something you don't like? We'll shower you with something else.
Like a black olive shower.
All right, perfect.
That
juicy.
Would suck. But here is
pelting.
Here's a couple of the highlights from the Weenie 500, and this is right out of the gates. Here's the start.
Phenomenal start. Everybody seemingly getting away cleanly. The rookie, Corndog, a great start. Already one position up.
Rules are you can't move in reaction to. You have to anticipate. You got to get your weenie to the inside faster than they can make the move from behind.
Yeah, that's the key there, Townsend. You see the conditions here so much different than last year. This cloud cover, cooler temperatures. Does that play advantage to the chili dog?
We talked last year about slippery wieners. Conditions this year are slippery, not yet wet, but how does that make the handling of your wiener different?
Well, you got to look at the trail of New York dog now. Almost has lost the draft entirely back there. You got to think that all the boos from this crowd when New York dog was introduced.
Oh, yeah.
The locals are not a fan, and you got to think it's playing in their heads a little bit.
As we get further into this race, the tires start to fall off. These weenies get hard to handle. You got to grab them with both hands and make sure you hang on through these corners because they can really start stepping out and getting away from you.
I mean,
wow.
That is the actual broadcast team of the Indianapolis 500.
This is better than Femke Kai. Yeah,
this is the Indy 500 real broadcasters. Like, I couldn't believe
it. Yeah.
Here comes Femke Kai.
The way that they were doing this. Yeah.
I thought they kind of blew it.
Well, this is,
what way?
this is one of the drivers who was, I guess, getting a little bit dirty in the way that he was approaching things.
Seattle dog making a move. That's a block, Townsend.
That's absolutely
a block.
That is a dirty wiener. I just don't think I can endorse that kind of behavior.
They were buns to buns coming off of two, and that was not right.
That was.
But it killed the momentum. It killed the momentum, and Slaw Dog, your defending champion, making a move. Can they stuff it up the inside?
What a silly sausage. Shy Dog loses the lead. Slaw Dog back in front. It's wiener on wiener action here. Five, very much still in the race.
But I am watching Corn Dog as his first lap comes to conclusion.
I'll tell you what's so good about Corn Dog. The longer the wiener, the better when it comes to aero efficiency. And that tail coming off, that stick off the back of that wiener is really going to give them advantage at the end of the straight, into turn three, and into turn one. I'd say keep an eye at the start of the second lap for a big move into the first corner.
I got to relax, man.
Bro, this is constant. This is on Fox.
Yeah. And do you feel like all this is extemporaneous speaking? Like, this isn't scripted?
No, it's not scripted.
It's off the cuff.
They're having
wiener
fun
on
with this.
Wiener, bro.
Bun on bun.
Come on, man.
I can't believe that they actually do this. This is now 2 years running.
I'm going to throw my headphones down and walked out.
Like
the Geico and the Caveman commercials, I'm out of here, bro.
I mean, I feel like they should probably tap into your expertise in this field and bring you into the mix.
Yes.
You know?
I'd be down to do some play-by-play here.
Maybe you could be, what do they call them, the turn announcers?
Yeah.
Let's go to turn three for the chief.
Yeah.
Pit reporter.
Yeah, corn dog balls deep down here, guys. Get it?
Get it?
These are the real broadcasters.
I can't believe it's on network television.
That's incredible. I know.
The Wiener 500.
This is 10 minutes. I mean, I got like five clips in there.
You sure do.
It's insane.
I want more.
Okay. Let's see what happens next here. Oh, this is where we get to the techniques. You have like the professional Indy drivers that are given some technique, practice.
James, you know what it takes, Townsend, you know what it takes around this legendary racing circuit. When you have a moment like that on the first lap, how do you redouble your effort and get back into it?
You know, I talked to some of the drivers before this, and they said it's a gentle touch with the wiener, actually. You would think it's two hands holding strong, but it's a gentle touch that really is the differentiator to have the finesse when nursing it through the corner.
You don't want to handle this too hard.
I mean,
you don't want to handle it too hard, you know?
These are your professional drivers.
Yeah.
Okay? And this is how they went about the broadcast. Pretty unbelievable stuff. I did not know they were this aggressive with it.
Mm-hmm.
No. But congratulations to the New York dog who ended up coming away with the victory getting the Borg Wiener trophy and getting the mustard shower, despite how much the fans there at the Indy 500 seemingly hated the New York dog. For whatever reason, they have an issue with the New York dog. But
Knicks Pacers, maybe?
Yeah, I mean,
that could be a good point.
Just Pacers fans in there hating on hating on what that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's your Wiener 500 2.0.
Wow.
Just a little taste of what that was like.
Well, thank you, Chief. That was outstanding. We got a mixed bag coming up next, Wolchuk.
Yeah, if every NBA mascot fought, who do you think would win?
Ooh.
That's next in the nation.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Sands coming up at 5:20. Puts us 35 minutes away from our Rangers Insider pregame at 6:30. Trying to get a silver boot split and get back to within 4 or 5 hundo. Here's Wolchuk with your mixed bag.
All right, so Charmin Soft, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Well, the free throw merchant label has been put on him now for a couple of years, and it's made Eric sick to watch. It's made a lot of fans in the NBA sick to watch. Now, yesterday, Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, was on the Pat McAfee show, and he said, "I would only say that there's a difference between selling a call, exaggeration, and a true flop, which is where you're actually fooling the refs." He does not think that there is flopping, that there is an issue. He said, "I think sometimes, even as I sit in the stands at games, players may be falling down. Players may be just reacting to a call, but he does not believe that flopping is an issue in the game right now." Now, Dylan Brooks is...
I mean, to me, it's a defensive issue, right? You're being too aggressive defending Shea, and he is too good at recognizing when you're out of position. Keep your hands off me, stay out of my landing zone, and I won't have to flop. Right.
Yeah, sure.
You know, play more conservative defense. But I'm too quick. And the thing with Shea is, like, he's got the reactions of a prize fighter. So
yeah,
this is something
quick.
That a lot of the great basketball players and soccer athletes, running backs have in common, that they can wait until you reach and then react. And that's a very rare trait in sports. Like, your reaction time, your timing and your instincts has to be insanely off the scale good.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from me, and I won't have to protect myself. It's the way I see it. And I love watching him play because I appreciate how he punishes defenders for getting out of position.
I think he is fantastic. But, I mean, just the numbers of how many times he ends up on the ground and falls during a shot, it is kind of hard to overlook. I mean, because I was with you in terms of, like, I think that this is a little bit overblown, because you look at his free throw attempts compared to, like, is he always leading the league in free throw attempts? The answer is no. But there is something about he ends up on the ground. What was it, 20% of his shot attempts? Like, there might be something here.
I mean, but there's always been an element of flopping.
There always has
been in basketball. Why are we mad at this now?
And I don't think it's as bad as what James Harden used to do.
No, it's definitely not the worst flopping.
He's like leaning into it. Yeah, like, that stuff would piss me off. But clearly fans are not loving what SGA is doing. I think the best thing was Dylan Brooks. He creates.
I think they just
this,
don't like him because he's so damn good looking.
Is that what it is?
I think it's part of it.
It's the looks.
Just like the Tom Brady hate.
Somebody's like, they're watching with their girl, and they're like, "Who's that?" You know, yeah. And now it's, "I hate this guy. Screw him. He's a flopper." But Dylan Brooks mocked SGA by sharing a custom operation board game, which was created by Underdog Sports. Now, Underdog reportedly created 100 custom copies of the game. But since then, you have SGA, according to The Athletic, his representation has filed a cease and desist letter asking the company to stop using his image for its game or face legal repercussions. Fair or foul? Fan after dark style. Do you like what Shea did here? Or is this just Charmin Soft?
Yeah, I mean, initially I thought it was soft. The more I think about it, it's like, you are using my name.
Yeah.
You are using everything about me. Yeah. I should at least get a cut of this.
Sure.
You know? That's really what it comes down to. I think from a business standpoint.
Just give me some money. If you're going to make fun of me, at least can I get some money from this?
Yeah, I should be able to get a little
that's
bit
fair.
Of.
Sure.
I should be able to get a little
I
cash
think that's
for this.
A fair point, 100%.
Because they didn't just use a generic blue uniform number two, you know, where everybody knows it's SGA, yeah. but they're not saying it.
It's legit. Like,
they're going all out with this is 100% him.
No, you get yours, so, SGA. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And that's what this should have been. It's just like, hey, the cease and desist is I want my portion of whatever money you've made off of this.
Okay, so I stumbled across this video last night on, you know, while I was brain rotting on TikTok. Let's go to New York, and this is just a couple of guys on the street that start debating if you had every NBA mascot fight, who's coming out on top. Now, this is a little bit of a long clip. Bear with them. Eventually, they're going to come to a conclusion.
If every single NBA team was what they were, their mascot, their name, that's what you are, and they all had an all-out war, who would win?
The Hawks.
No.
Yes, the Cavaliers.
I say the Mavericks.
A Raptor would destroy all of them.
Okay.
A rocket would destroy a Raptor.
What about Hornets? Hornets could be.
Hornets could.
Hornets.
Also, number two.
Swarm at them, you're done.
Yeah, the Macaulay Culkin died in that one movie from the Hornets. Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin.
What about Warriors?
Warrior, bro. You know what? If I'm a wizard, I'm going to point my wand at this warrior and be like, a wizard can control
everything.
Where the Rockets land. Hey, they can control everything. The wizard's going to win.
76ers, we took on the British.
British.
Oh, that's what 76ers means?
It's like the colonial guys.
Oh, the Hawks. Hawks are bad. I saw a hawk.
If you have a wizard or magic.
I saw a hawk take a fucking squirrel off the ground.
You know who will win the war, though? I got to be honest. The Clippers. They'll clip anything.
What about the power of music in the Utah Jazz?
No, Jazz will not save the world.
Did we say the Heat?
The Heat is a good one because the Heat could just melt everybody. If the sun is like, yo, I'm going to be 10 billion degrees and melt all y'all right now, that could be the Heat. So what's more important, the Heat or the sun?
What about the Lakers?
Now Lakers, boo.
So they can escape the Heat.
So what's the answer?
I think the Magic or the Wizards.
Yeah, I would think so too.
What's a Celtic?
Irish.
Yeah, don't f with the Irish.
Well, that's terrific audio. It blew my mind multiple times. I think the Suns was a great point.
Yeah, the Suns. That's the one.
Yes. Suns would be hard.
The Suns are the Heat, though. I think the Heat would
be good.
You think I would leave the Sun?
Yeah, the Sun is the ultimate Heat.
But he's got a point about the Lakers
heat.
Because of the water. Right,
I think a sun would evaporate a lake instantly if it got close enough.
Yeah,
you know, she'd be like, "You're out of here, lake."
The sun is going to be undefeated here.
Just boil the water, right?
Yeah, you're done for. It's evaporated.
It's evaporated.
Yeah, you're a crater at this point. I think is what you'd be. Now with the animals, I was waiting for them to say grizzlies.
Clippers a ship, by the way.
Yeah, they
right?
didn't say grizzlies.
I thought when you're living in the animal kingdom, I think the grizzlies would be champs.
That's fair.
But I like the Wizards and the Magic play as well. Like if you had Infinity Stone level magic, you know, might be able to snuff out a sun.
Like Clash of Clans, the Wizards were fantastic.
Yeah, they're going to be able to just do things, pull stuff off their wants, you know, that you don't see coming. It's going to be wild.
Here's you get distracted by their sleeves.
And the hats and the beards. Joey McGuire says Texas Tech is offering to play Texas on September 5th this season.
Okay, this is crazy. For this season, you always get the scheduled stuff, and it's like we're in 2026. In 2031, we're going to play this team.
He's saying, you know what, let's do this now, and here's why. We're going to buy out Abilene Christian University. That's who we're scheduled to play. We're going to pay it. We're going to give them their money. Don't worry. Now we're open. He said, Texas, you can afford to buy out the Texas State game too. You buy out Texas State. We buy out ACU. Now we have an opening. Let's play each other head to head. We can do it in Lubbock. We can do it at AT&T Stadium, but let's get it on.
Man, all the parents at Texas State and Abilene Christian are like, yeah.
Give us the money. We're not to play.
Yeah, no doubt.
But gosh, I
love
this.
They ought to play each other now. Abilene Christian, Texas State ought to play each other.
There you go.
That's how you make that up.
That'd be great.
A big party.
That'd be great. They bring play each other, and then we get Texas and Texas.
But we got Texas State now in the WAC, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think they have, I think both those teams are starting to rise up the conferences every year. But man, he said, quote, we would love to play Texas. This is in response to what Sark had to say last week. I think this would be great. Now, Tech does have a glaring weakness. Their non-con opponents are terrible. He did say for 27, they're in the next 2 weeks, Joey McGuire said they're going to announce a big-time opponent for next year's schedule. But that's something in the CFP committee. Like if they were to drop a game in the Big 12 schedule, they're not going to be giving them the benefit of the doubt because they're playing cupcakes. next year.
And it is a pretty compelling case to go to 24 teams, because at 24, I don't have to worry about my non-con. I can line up patsies and just get good for the conference schedule, go undefeated there. Or I could schedule tough teams, and if we lose one, we're fine. We could lose another game. And with two losses, just be good, right? Should be the criteria for getting into the playoffs. Not you tricked the schedule makers, or, or you got a lucky year where you didn't have to play Alabama, so now you're undefeated. It should be just have a compelling case that you're a damn good football team. And at 24, you can include everybody under that definition.
I mean, I still 24 to me just feels too, like, I think 16 is kind of the max that I'd go here, but I think 24 is inevitable and we're just going to have to deal with it. But I'd love that. Let's make this happen, Texas and Texas Tech. Let's do it. I think we'd all be pumped to see that matchup.
Shoot, yeah.
I love that he's just going out with this. Like, okay, Sark, you want to talk smack like that? I'm going to put this in the public. This isn't even behind closed doors. I'm going to let everybody know that we're ready for you.
Yeah, well, we'll do it. We'll buy out our game. You buy out yours.
It wouldn't be an impossible road trip either, too. That'd be pretty simple for both teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
You do it, if you want to hold it at AT&T, that'd be great, too.
It'd be awesome.
I think that's what he said, right?
Yeah,
he said Lubbock or AT&T.
Yeah,
let's do that.
I think if you're Texas as well, like without Sorsby, and with Tech coming off the season they had, you can kick off this season with a bang, get people fired up talking about it. You just beat Tech.
And Texas would be super favored in that, in my opinion, especially with the quarterback situation. So I think you're right there. All right, let's finish up the mixed bag here. Here's some more audio. This is a story, Raven Steelers, old school rivalry. Bart Scott and T. Sizzle, Terrell Suggs. Now, there is a poor Steelers fullback that is the centerpiece of this story, but how about a defensive player shooting his shot? Take it away. They're going to bounce between Bart Scott and Terrell Suggs telling this story.
It's about Bart Scott. It was one of those years. They beat the out of us in the season.
The play before the timeout, I hit Willie Park, and I'm like, listen, Willie, this guy's going to get you killed. He sucks.
Well, you f***ing suck.
He pops up, screw you. I'm like, you don't want this smoke, trust me. So we're arguing, so of course, I'm following him all the way to the sideline. It's a TV timeout. And he said, man, you won't do nothing.
And Bart Scott said, bring your ass out. He called out the fullback. And Mike Conley looking like, who are you talking to? And he was like, I'm talking to him. Bring his fat ass out here.
Oh, my.
Mike Conley was like, get your ass in there.
Yeah.
And he's pumping his head up and stuff like that. I knew what time it was. So I hauled ass 0 to 100 real quick.
Man, when I tell you I've never heard a car crash so hard. Oh, you heard that? Hi,
met him in the hole. Bow. I'm talking my talk. I told you this dude sucked. The problem was he got up too fast. Runs to the sideline, gets to the numbers, collapses. If you ever in life need a hype man, call Terrell Suggs. He is the Flavor Flay of football. Terrell Suggs said, oh, my God.
He's in hell. He's done.
Damn, 35.
Get out of here. I've never seen, like, a defensive player call their shot. Like, yo, I'm finna knock you the out. And then actually on the next play, on the ensuing play, knocks the guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, that my cussing pro. I ain't seen that dude.
During that time the next week, he was out. Because of an injury, because of that play?
No. The story grows?
Yeah, it was Dan Kreider, Steelers fullback, and he did. He knocked him out, had a concussion, had to miss the following game as well. But, man, boy, that Ravens old-school defense, Bart Scott and Terrell Suggs.
Well, those were just some of the funnest matchups ever.
Just
when it was
violence.
Steelers-Ravens.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing, dude. Like, some of the best defenders of an era,
man.
All on the field, and they were just dogs.
I just love the idea of, like, he's pointing at the Steelers sideline. Mike Tomlin's like, who are you calling out? You get out there. Hey, go.
I guess we're in 21. You're calling our personnel now.
Mono, let's make this happen. Coach is like, all right, hell yeah.
All right, we got three down, 90 minutes to go. Finest coming up. Chief, where are you taking it?
Yeah, let's hear from the luckiest quarterback in the league. And Texas Tech might actually have another option to replace Sorsby. That's next year in the nation.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.